The biggest share of presidential campaign money goes to television commercials. The biggest share of the candidate's time goes to trips from state to state, giving the same speech again and again and again. Several weeks ago on this program, NPR's Mara Liasson reported on John Kerry's regular stump speech. Today, she reports on the basic speech by President Bush.
In Chillicothe, Ohio last week, George W. Bush warmed up the crowd at the Ross County Fairgrounds with praise for the people of Ohio, who, he said, work hard, value family, like to hunt and fish, and love their country. And then he said this about his popular wife, Laura Bush.
I am sorry Laura's not here today. Most people usually do groan.
The reason the president knows most people groan is because he uses this line at every single stop. Some candidates vary their stump speeches, but not George W. Bush. It's a rehearsed, polished, and very consistent performance, full of crowd-pleasing lines that help him cultivate an image of someone who says what he means and means what he says.
I'm going to tell the people where I stand, what I believe, and where I'm going to lead this nation. I'm going to tell them that I have a plan to keep this country of ours safer and a more hopeful America. I'm running on a compassionate conservative philosophy that says government ought to help people, not dictate to people.
Then there's the laundry list of domestic policies. Without going into specifics, Mr. Bush promises to make the tax code simpler and fairer, help people buy health insurance, and make his tax cuts permanent. And he touts his first-term record with the same cheerleading zeal.
We have modernized Medicare. Our seniors will get prescription drug coverage, and we're not turning back.
Peter Robinson, a former speechwriter for George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, notes that the domestic policy part of the speech is full of expensive, not-so-conservative programs that expand government, like the Medicare drug entitlement.
I guess the overarching message is something like, I'm conservative, folks, but don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. But I don't even buy that. It's just a kind of grab bag. In fact, when George Bush is talking about domestic policy, he reminds me of nothing so much as that famous line of Lyndon Johnson's when he was on the campaign trail in 1964. LBJ said, we're in favor of a lot of things and we're against mighty few. That's about what W sounds like when he's talking about domestic policy.
But in the next breath, President Bush is attacking John Kerry for wanting to expand government and raise taxes. Until recently, Kerry was reticent to attack Mr. Bush directly, but the president has never been shy about blasting his opponent.
If you drive a car, Senator Kerry's voted for higher taxes on you. If you have a job, he's voted for higher taxes on you. If you're married or have children, he's voted for higher taxes on you. Good news, in the 2nd of November, you have a chance to vote.
The president invariably delivers his speech without a jacket or tie, his shirt sleeves rolled up to the elbows, his upper body leaning forward over the lectern. And, says Peter Robinson, his Texas twang is a lot thicker when he's outside the Beltway.
Tomorrow becomes tomorrow. The United Nations becomes the United Nations. Short, punchy sentences, then he lets the crowd applaud, he lets the crowd cheer, he enjoys it when they start chanting 4 more years. He is at the center of a kind of old-fashioned American political ritual. He keeps his own lines simple, and he keeps them country.
I've heard it quite a few. I'd say a good 3 dozen times.
Kevin Madden is a regional press secretary for the Bush-Cheney campaign. He's often on the road with the president, and he's become a close observer of the president's stump speech.
I think there's a folksiness to it. I think that the president really does have a certain level of connection where he's looking people directly in the eye, and he's making a connection with the voter that's in the front row and the voter in the back row. And I think he understands that. He has a really good command of the actual room that he's in.
The president's speech is tailor-made for his audience, which is usually pre-screened and wildly enthusiastic. It's also often packed with religious conservatives, the part of the Republican base the president's campaign is trying so hard to turn out in record numbers this year. The president got a standing ovation when he said this in Portsmouth, Ohio last week.
We stand for a culture of life in which every person matters, every being counts. We stand for marriage and family, which are the foundations of society. We stand for the Second Amendment. And we stand for judges who faithfully interpret the law instead of legislating from the bench.
The president's speech divides neatly into two parts. The first is about domestic issues. The second is all about war and terrorism. And that's where he draws the toughest contrasts and delivers the harshest attacks on John Kerry.
One thing about Senator Kerry's position is clear. If he had his way, Saddam Hussein would still be in power and would still be a threat to the security and to the world.
And his speech always ends with the event the president has made the cornerstone of his reelection effort, 9/11. He talks about his visit to the rubble of the Twin Towers 3 days after the attacks.
There were workers in hard hats yelling at me at the top of their lungs, whatever it takes. I tried to do my best to comfort those who had been in the rubble. A fellow looked me right in the eye and said, "Do not let me down." I wake up every morning, thinking about how to better protect our country. I will never relent in defending America, whatever it takes.
Aside from this scene in the smoking ruins of the Trade Center, Mr. Bush rarely uses anecdotes, the way other candidates do to better connect with voters. But, as Peter Robinson explains, the president has found his own way to fire up a crowd.
As a speechwriter, I didn't listen to this and just feel myself filled with admiration for the text or for the job he was doing delivering it, the way I do when I listen to old tapes of FDR, or of course the way I did when I listened to Ronald Reagan. There was nothing elegant. On the other hand, what you've got here is somebody plain-spoken, perfectly conversational, in the old tradition of a Truman or an LBJ or a Hubert Humphrey. And this is a critical point. By contrast with his dad, who quite often gave you the feeling that he'd rather be doing something other than giving a speech, George W. Bush is clearly enjoying himself.
And at least for the adoring crowds who attend his rallies, the president's speech gets the job done. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
So that's President Bush's standard speech. Mara reported earlier on Senator Kerry's standard stump speech. And the entire stump speeches for both candidates are available at npr.org.